Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 548. It's time for a walk and talk. It's been a long time since I did a walk and talk podcast with no editing. And I hate that. I hate to do them this way, but this is the way I used to do them all the time. You know, it's kind of interesting. And so I'm gonna do a walk and talk podcast because we have developments that we need to talk about in the present time frame in podcast 548. What is wrong with Hillary Clinton? And what is wrong with the markets? So we're going to talk about those things in this podcast, podcast 548. Well, back to school usually means you have a little bit more time during the day if your kids are in school for exercise. And I'm going to tell you about something that will really help you get more out of your exercise. Now, I practice yoga. I do it all the time. I do sometimes twice a day. And I talk about being in crowded rooms over 100 degrees, lots of humidity. And you see people end up sitting on their mat because they are dehydrated and it affects their performance. Or when you're done with exercise, if you're dehydrated, you're going to be really sore and you're going to think that that's part of the deal. And usually I would power through it. And then I found Hydrus. Here's how it transformed my yoga practice. First of all, if you drink a bunch of water before a yoga class, you aren't going to get hydrated until about 40 minutes into the class. So in a 1 hour class, you're not going to make it through a hot yoga class without having to take a break because you're not fully hydrated. Hydrus is a new high performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, and there's no sugar like you usually see in these traditional sports drinks that supposedly do the same thing. So Hydrus will help you take it to the edge. It has helped me take it to the edge because you get hydrated really, really fast. You drink it before, during, and after exercise. It makes a huge difference because you're not sore, you don't have the soreness, and you have high levels of performance that you didn't have before. That's why we call it the Hydrus Performance Revolution. You got CrossFit athletes using it, tennis players using it, wrestlers using it, people who are doing really, you know, strongman lifting are using it, and they rave about Hydrus. HydrusPerformance.com. Here's the deal. It's not a bottled beverage that you drink out of the bottle. You dilute a little bit, like a capful of Hydrus, into 16.2 or 16.7 ounces of water, and then you drink that. So a bottle of Hydrus lasts a long time. Hydrus Performance, if you want to know more info, join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. A lot of my friends are using it. Let me know what your experiences are. I love hearing about Hydrus. Well, it is a beautiful three-quarter moon lit night, the evening of September 11th, 2016, and it's... We are now 5 days away from a lunar eclipse on September 16th. So we're in between all these eclipses, which some people think create all sorts of bizarre energies that animate people and make things just enhance and make things a little more uphill. I don't know if I agree with that. I haven't decided. But that kind of sets the tone for what's going on. So I was going to do a podcast tonight about data mining because I got an email from somebody who listens and said, I would love to hear you talk about data mining. This is the practice that companies are sucking all of the information out of your phone or your computer about who you are and what you are and amalgamating all of it and using it to market to you. And some people feel it's a violation of their privacy. And I don't want to really do anything. I think it's a great idea for a podcast, by the way. And I don't want to do anything with it until I study it a little bit, because I just don't want to pop off about something that I don't think too much about data mining. The only thing that I would say about data mining up front, and we'll see if this holds throughout my study of the problem, is that when you agree to, you know, use an iPhone, or when you tap I agree to the mirrored, options with certain types of apps and operating systems and everything else, you're agreeing to their infrastructure, you know, and the things that their infrastructure does. You're agreeing to accept their rules, because you're making a deal with a private company, and that's part of the deal. If it's the government, that's another thing entirely, you know, data mining and the government sticking its nose into your business. But that doesn't prevent you from agreeing, as you would agree if you signed a lease. You know, when you sign a lease, you make agreements, and that's contractual agreement. So if you're making a contractual agreement with Verizon or AT&T or Apple or Samsung or whatever, then you're agreeing to be used and to have your data be used to market to you. So that's my immediate thought, but we'll find out going forward. But that's not the big issue that everybody is talking about right now as we speak. Everybody is having their evening conversation, and if they've watched the news or they've been online, Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or, you know, any of the big news services, everybody wants to know suddenly what's wrong with Hillary Clinton. Now, if you've been paying attention, this is a question that has been asked quite a lot recently, and lots on YouTube, and lots of people who are partisans have said for a long time that there's something wrong with Hillary Clinton, and a picture proves it, or a coughing fit proves it, which may or may not be true at this point. After she went to a ceremony in New York for 9/11 victims or whatever, and had to leave because the story was that she was overcome with heat, had to leave the event. And it's very interesting because if you watch the video, you're going to see her. The trucks weren't even out front. Like the limo or whatever it is that she rides around in wasn't even up front. They had to go get it. And she's brought out and she's leaning against a post and she's faltering as she goes to get in the truck. She's starting to go down and then she just goes down. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. They've had scenes of her being held up last spring, being, you know, held up and carried up the porch and being held up at some event, and then the coughing fits that have taken place. Most recently, the coughing fit that took place on the plane when she tried to have a press conference and had to walk. She just walks away in the middle of the press conference. And so now suddenly, because of what happened today, now suddenly everyone in the media, and this is going to be a cacophony starting Monday, September 12th, if it hasn't started already, it's going to be a cacophony of people asking the question, what's wrong with Hillary Clinton? If you spend any time on YouTube, there are hundreds of videos, and they're all, you know, there are all these people that there's no facts associated with any. It's just, look at this picture, this proves that, here's Ben Carson talking about what's wrong with her, and I think it's very hard to judge what is wrong with someone based on a video. But there's clearly a problem. This is an ongoing thing. Now, their story is she has pneumonia and she needs antibiotics and she'll be all right. My own personal filter, I don't believe that, because if she has had walking pneumonia, this goes back to the weird thing at the press conference, or the thing that when she was doing that thing in New Hampshire and she did that whole head bob thing. Something is wrong with her, in my personal opinion. And we're, you know, the way John McCain handled this, and he was actually older than, what was he, 73 or something when he ran for president? He was older than Reagan. When Reagan ran for president, he was, I think, 72 or something like that, 71 or 72. And McCain released his medical records, and there was nothing wrong with him. But John McCain wasn't falling down. You know, John McCain wasn't faltering and coughing on the campaign trail. He just was kind of a low energy guy, you know, and that, I think that's just the way he is. So John McCain there was no evidence that there was something wrong with him. It was just the Obama campaign. The Democrats, you know, were like, well, he's really old and he looks old and he falters a lot, and he looked somewhat infirm, but that wasn't the problem. And of course, Reagan was vigorously healthy when he was running for president. And I just have to mention this because I remembered this. When he was shot, the doctors had to crack his chest, you know, to deal with the damage from the, I'm sorry, there's a lot of wind out here. I'm going to have to go find someplace where I can hear this is better. I'm walking into the wind. when they went to crack his chest, they were like, this guy is like a beast. He had a lot of musculature in his chest and his shoulders and arms. He was really in good shape for a guy that was 72 years old. So I don't know what we can say about Hillary Clinton. We don't know, but I'm going to tell you. Here's what I will say. I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know if anything's wrong with her. I don't know if she has walking pneumonia. I don't know what the deal is. I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this. This is going to hurt her, and it's going to hurt her badly over the next few weeks unless they can figure out some way to pull this out. This is a huge problem, and you're going to hear the Democrats say they're going to talk about Reagan getting shot. They're going to talk about McCain's health issue. And the Republicans are going to say she needs to release her health records, which they're just going to expunge anything from the health records that would have any negative, you know, I mean, they're just going to lie because that's what they do. They're not going to release her full health records. And they're all going to, and the Democrats are going to talk about how Franklin Roosevelt was not in very good health in 1944. And yet here he was this great leader. Well, Franklin Roosevelt was nearly dead in 1944. He was ashen white, but even Roosevelt, to my knowledge, and I just read a book about it, never fell down or anything when he was on the campaign trail. He actually rose to the occasion. He loved to campaign. And but having said that, so he won the presidency in 1944 and was dead in... Was it June or April? I think it was June, but it may have been in early. It was during the summer because he was down in Warm Springs, Georgia. And he died less than 3 or 4 months later after he, you know, took the oath of office. So he made it, but he was definitely dying. And, of course, Roosevelt's problem was a heart problem. He had polio as a kid, and his health, his issues with walking were always concealed. Even though he swam every day and did everything he could to look and appear to be vigorous, and I think he was vigorously healthy, and I think it was the time in office, 4 terms in office, killed him. Basically, that's what happened. He probably would have lived to be much older than, I think he was something like, what was he, 65 or something, if that. So there's that. So the pressure of the war did more to damage him than anything else, but. He did his gig. He survived the he basically left a, you know, he had, at that point he'd won. He wasn't completed, but he had won. So they're going to point to Roosevelt and say, you know, Roosevelt was a great president. He didn't have such great health either. Well, he was very healthy, except for the fact that his legs didn't work all the way up until the heart condition, which, you know, was, you know, only a factor in 1944. And then just for political people, you know, I just want to point out real quickly that, you know, just before this happened, so this has happened on 9/11, and everybody needs to know this has happened on 9/11. In other words, not that it has anything to do with September 11th, but it's happened on September 11th, 2016. Almost all the polls were taken prior to this and taken, you know, prior to her collapsing. And having this problem, so we're not going to know what the impact is going to be. It can't be good. That's the first thing. The first takeaway is it can't be good unless they figure out a way to get out from under this. And the only way to get out from under it is for her to get out and be vigorous. You know, so she's got to prove that she's vigorous. And she's clearly not. And this has been, I would just say, go to YouTube and watch all the conspiracy videos. This stuff goes back months. And, you know, Democrats will say, oh, come on, that's a bunch of, you know, that's just these guys. But she's provided the impetus for these videos by having these episodes. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. My mom's going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say one more thing. So what I've read is that her condition may be related to the fact that she had a blood clot on the brain, which I did not know. I read that someplace and I don't. She had a blood clot on the brain as a result of her fall when she was Secretary of State. And if you'll recall, she was out for a long time. And after that, she had a lot of, you know, she had a long recovery. And basically they just said, oh, she just had a bad bump on the head. Well, I didn't know she had a blood clot on the brain. I'm going to tell you a little story and then we'll take a break. My father had a blood clot on the brain, and I've talked about this a couple of different times in podcasts, but he went out one early spring morning in March. We lived in the Chicago area, and of course, you know, that time of the year, it's freezing and thawing, and there was a, as it is in Minnesota, there was a huge sheet of ice on the step down the side door where you went out from the kitchen to the carport where we lived. And we lived in like a split level, and then there's this one door that you went down the stairs, and of course he went charging down the stairs, opened the door, stepped out on the cement, and went whoosh right on the ice, came down on his head. And my mom, you know, wanted to call an ambulance, and he was like, no, you know, I'm okay, I'll just sit here for a minute. So he sat there for a little while, and then he said, well, I'm gonna go ahead and go to work, I'm okay. And he was, I think he was probably, I'll bet he was 40, 41 at the time, so he was still, you know, young and strong and healthy, and went to work, and that was the end of that. Nothing was thought of. So this was what, March, February or March when this happened? And, or it may have even been earlier. And it was the late, midsummer, because I remember it was just ridiculously hot, middle of the night. We didn't have AC. All the windows were open. And it was like 2:00 in the morning, and my mom heard this huge crash in the kitchen. And she went down, and my dad was laying on the floor. And they, I don't remember, and it's really interesting because I was pretty much a little kid, but it's really interesting to me. I don't remember what happened after that. I don't know if she called an ambulance or if she got him up and took him to a hospital or if she got him up and made him go to the doctor the next day or whatever the deal was. But in any case, he went to the doctor, and they said, well, you've got a blood clot on the brain, and you're going to die if we don't get this out of here. Now, this is, you know, this is a long time ago. This is not the kind of science, the modern technology, medicine that we have today. And they literally, just like you see in those ancient skulls from the days when they tried to relieve pressure on people's brains by cutting holes in their brains with crude instruments, they literally cut a hole in his brain and put in a steel plate. That was the way that they fixed it. And he almost died. He got pneumonia, and that's a very interesting connection. Almost died after the operation. He was never the same after that. Now, what does that mean? Well, one of the things I read about blood clots on the brain, when it as related to Hillary Clinton, somebody mentioned that they are prone to fits of anger. They're prone to something like strokes, although I don't want to say strokes, but they're prone to other things like that. And remember that she was like 63 or 64 when she fell and had a blood clot in the brain. My dad was 40. And the biggest thing with him was that he was a gentle person who had a great sense of humor. He liked to drink, obviously. Who doesn't, right? And I wouldn't say that he was fun because he was always an introvert, but my dad was industrious, and before he fell and had the blood clot, he was a very gentle person. After that, he was fit to these anger fits. He was prone to anger fits, rather, and he also became a darker personality. Now, would anybody have known this if they weren't our friends or something? Probably not. And could it have been the influences of life? Perhaps. But all of us, my sister, my mom, and my grandfather before he died, all agreed that he was different after that experience. I mean, he almost died, so, you know, that's part of it too. But I think it's very interesting. This blood clot in the brain thing, and I can speak with absolute authority because I experienced it, not me, but my dad, is no joke. So I would like to know what's wrong with her, if there's something wrong with her, and I don't think it's pneumonia. So we'll just have to see what happens. Just as a little departure from our conversation about Hillary Clinton right now, I am actually still formulating my trip out west. I haven't decided whether I'm going to go down straight down to Phoenix or whether I'm going to go across to Seattle, over to LA, and then to Phoenix. And I am accepting contributions for Mobile Podcast Command right now for diesel fuel, Komodo Dragon coffee, and beef jerky, which, if you know it, anybody who knows me knows, this is what I eat on the road. I'll lose like 10 pounds. But I get my schedule back. It's really weird. When I'm at home, I am just Mr. Nocturnal, and when I get out on the road, I start waking up earlier in the day. Who can figure that out? And of course, Mobile Podcast Command came from xgovernmentcars.com. This is Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They've got work trucks, they've got Expeditions, they've got Dodge Chargers, they've got Chevy Impala V8s, of course, the Crown Vicks while they last, the Ford Police SUVs, the Ford Police sedans, which are great. If you need a new car, this is a great place to check, especially if it's a work van or if it's a work vehicle, because these cars are, you know, one owner, fleet maintained, they're great cars. I've had great success with all of my ex-government cars. And the thing is, if you need a car, if you have a job and you need a loan, you are approved. Ex-government cars also takes trades. They pay the highest values every day without all the bull. I've seen it happen more than once when I've been out hanging out with Ed at ex-government cars at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. They also have the three-day love-it guarantee. If you don't love it within 3 days, you can take it back. Get your butt down to ex-government cars in Golden Valley, 2420 Nevada Avenue North. They got cars there right now. Or you can call them at 763-777-8782, exgovernmentcars.com. And I'm going to split the air with the bullhorn.
Exgovernmentcars.com.
So, if... You know, people say, well, you don't know anything. Why are you saying this? Well, first of all, we have a number of incidences. And no, I don't know anything. I couldn't tell you what's wrong with her or if there's anything wrong with her with any degree of authority. And no one else can. You can't either. You can't say there's nothing. You can't come back and say, well, there's nothing wrong with her because nobody knows. Here's the most important thing and the takeaway from this is this. It doesn't matter if there's anything wrong with her or not. Now people are going to be talking about what's wrong with her. And they're going to be looking for answers. So it really doesn't matter what is said. It's not going to turn off the spigot of speculation. And here's the best part for the media. It's a new storyline. So now we can argue with six people on CNN. We'll have an expert on and we can argue back and forth about whether or not she has a problem. That is not good for anyone's presidential campaign. That's the first thing. The second thing is that as we speak, prior to this event, the polls have already showed a tightening in the battleground states. They've now taken North Carolina off the board for Democrats. That's a toss-up state. Georgia is much closer than it was. Florida is much closer than it was. Ohio is much closer than it was. Wisconsin is closer than it was. Moreover, some of these senators that were in really difficult positions, Bob Portman is a good example in Ohio, are actually looking really good in the latest polls. You're being treated now. Think about this. You're being treated now to a whole bunch of stories about how a new poll shows Clinton up by 5. Right? And it's a national poll. And I've already told people who listen to me and listen to the Bob Davis podcast, do not pay attention to the national polls because it's not a national election. It is a 50-state affair, and there are 538 electoral votes, if you count Washington, D.C., at stake. So when you talk, but it's very interesting how they've shifted from talking about battleground states, they've shifted to starting to talk about this national poll because it shows Clinton in the lead by 5 points. Maybe they just don't want it to, maybe the battleground story got old or whatever. This is going to have a huge effect on her chances to be president. I don't know whether it will dissipate, but 60 days out to have this problem is not a good thing. And moreover, in the debates, so she has a pretty intense schedule and she has a pretty intense situation coming up, challenge in terms of whatever her problem is with the debates, because she is going to have to debate Trump and she's going to have to be on it. And if there's any coughing episodes or she leaves the room, she's going to lose the debate. I mean, that's just not going to be acceptable. Americans want vigorous presidents. They want vigorously healthy presidents. They do not, especially, and this is going to sound sexist, but it's unfortunately it's true, especially with a woman. You know, she's already at a disadvantage because she's running as a woman. She would be America's first woman president. She's not young. She's not 48. She's not 58. She's 68. And there's a big difference between 58 and 68. Anybody who's out there who has been 58 and is now 68 knows exactly what I'm talking about. My good friend in Boston said, you know, I got up one day and all the gas just ran out of my system. I just can't seem to get excited about anything. And I thought that was funny. I hope that's not true. But, you know, there's a big difference between 58 and 68. And, you know, clearly Trump, who I believe is almost the same age, has plenty of energy. So it's not necessarily age. But running as a woman, you would have to be vigorous in all other areas. And of course, we know Barack Obama was vigorous and strong, and they showed the picture. Remember when he was running for president, they had the picture of him coming out of the beach, you know, or coming out of the surf, you know, down in Hawaii, and he looked great, and women were like, oh, he's so, you know, I don't think this guy's any, he's no Vladimir Putin, but remember Putin with the bear chest and killing the bear with his bare hands and all the other nonsense. But this, we want our leaders to be vigorous. And this gets in line with what I've been saying also, is the American people, they don't necessarily want to figure out, I don't think people really want to try to figure this stuff out. They want somebody that they can vote for that they know is going to be able to handle this stuff. And falling down into the ambulance and faltering and having to leave events, having to walk away from a press conference on an aircraft to get a drink of water, and on and on and on. There's now like 10 of these incidents, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, of these incidences, is not a good sign. It does not show vigorous health. So that's a huge piece. All right, so I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm not saying there's something wrong with her. I'm not saying she doesn't have pneumonia. I don't know. I'm certainly not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV. I'm not privy to the inside information. I don't know. I look at it in terms of what effect is this going to have, and people are going to, this is going to be the story for the next 4 or 5 days until somehow somebody changes the subject. Not to mention the gaffe this last week with her talking about the deplorables. Now they're saying, well, that's her 47% moment and so forth. So I don't know if the tide is shifting toward Trump. I don't know if it's going to make any difference for Trump. You know, it may or may not. I could not tell you. And I'm not going to even get into that until obviously the next, I'm going to do another state by state look at the end of the month, because I don't think looking at it every day, I do look at it every day, and I just don't think you can, you know, make any determinations looking at stuff every day. Okay, so that's the big story. And the second big story, which no one's talking about, is the market down, whatever, 350 plus points, 360 plus points Friday. And the discussion that is now going on about why the Federal Reserve is continuing to keep interest rates low, and that now what is happening is people are losing confidence in bonds. And the Federal Reserve in the United States saying we're going to have to raise interest rates, and rumors about Japan dumping debt and everything else going on. So what's going on? You know, the most interesting financial article that I saw tonight was one headlined, and I couldn't, it's very complicated, and I don't want to read I didn't read the whole article before I did this podcast, but I will get into this next, you know, in the future podcast in the week, but I think it's really important. Clearly there's a problem financially that has been papered over for a long time, and it isn't the big banks, and it isn't inequality, and it isn't, you know, it isn't a new normal or anything else. It has to do with our money and the money that's been injected into the system at low interest rates, and it has to do with the economy growing dynamically, which it is not. And it has to do with Federal Reserve policy and federal policy regarding spending and debt and lots of other things going on as we sort of start to work our way through this huge shift that is coming with the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So I'm not confident about the economy. I'm actually pretty worried about it. And of course, the market's going to recover. It may recover. It's a nasty correction, and it may recover. But clearly, there's something going on with the markets and the money, and it isn't just in the United States. It's worldwide. Some people are saying we're in a depression. I don't know that I agree with that, and I think that's a whole podcast. Are we in a depression? And I wouldn't even begin to be able to look at that right now. But those are the two big stories. Those are the two things that really require comment and attention right now, is the health of the Democratic candidate for president, the fact that the race is already tightening before. So be aware when they start talking about polls. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to say Hillary Clinton collapsed at an event. She's resting comfortably. She has pneumonia. She's been given antibiotics, blah, 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 blah. And then they're going to say, and in a poll, and so they're going to conflate it, and they're going to say that in a poll, she's still ahead 5 points. Well, the poll was taken before this thing happened. And so now we got to look into, and the key places to look, and they're really close. Ohio is still close. Florida is still close. I think Trump's in the lead in Florida, or she's in the lead by one. In Ohio, she's in the lead by 1.5, maybe. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Colorado, places like that. This is where this election is going to come down to one or two or three of these states as this begins to take hold. We won't know if her health concerns are a problem until after some more state-by-state polls, not national polls, but state-by-state polls are taken. So ignore this story about the Washington Post poll because it's a moot point at this point because this is before she collapsed. And look and think about the state-by-state polls, and we will look at them in detail. At the end of September. I'm not going to do that now, but I'm just saying that's where people have to look. And then this financial thing is huge because if we have a financial problem, that's going to have a huge impact on the election. Now, that does not mean, by the way, that Donald Trump is some kind of financial wizard and knows how to fix all this. I think these are macro trends which have been coming for a long time. They are not trends that can be necessarily affected by a candidacy or even a presidency. These are long-term trends that have to do with economic philosophy and central bank monetary philosophy, and they're complex, and I think we're talking about macro trends. As far as the election is concerned, you know, I think it's just it's academic as to whether or not this is going to affect her support or not affect her support, or whether a loss of support for her means support for Trump. Again, I'm not for either one of them. I think both of them are terrible candidates. I think both parties are politically bankrupt. I think, you know, just to criticize the Democrats, you know, the Clintons have been running the Democratic Party with the exception of the period of time that Obama has been in office, you know, and he's had to struggle against them. They're corrupt, and they've been running the Democrat Party for a long time, and they forced her through. They have forced her in there. And just as the Republicans made a bargain with the devil in, you know, nominating Trump because they wanted to stay in power, the Democrats have done the same thing. And I've equally criticized both parties. Both parties are politically bankrupt. They have no idea what to do about the problems facing the country or about plotting a course to, quote-unquote, make America great again or do whatever they say that they're going to do. So I'm not for either one of them. I think the political system has produced an array of horrible candidates for this election, and I think you'll see that after the new president is inaugurated. But this is enough of a development with Hillary Clinton that it has to be talked about, and I think the markets also are enough of a development that they should also be talked about. So that is podcast 548. Now, if you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. This is why we wish pilots good luck. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What is it? Well, it's an indicator of the amount of lift under your airplane that keeps it in the air. And usually it's not critical until you are maneuvering. If you are turning on base for that final approach to the runway, this is when pilots get into trouble. It's a big problem in general aviation, and Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. This visual indicator is the best in the business. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. And thanks, you guys, for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast all these months. And of course, good luck to pilots. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, and of course on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, because now we have streaming audio, and when you hit the page, if you're on a desktop, it just starts playing. If you're on an iPhone, depending on which iteration, it may or may not start playing. We designed it so that you would have to initiate the streaming on your phone, because we didn't want people to be confused about what's going on or have apps going off or anything else. So, but my friend Steve in Chicago said he has an old, I think it's a 4S, And he said, when I hit the site on my 4S, it starts playing immediately. But it's really cool because you don't have to hunt around for the last three podcasts and play them. They're right there. You just start listening. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show on the Patriot in Minneapolis and GCN Live. Thanks for listening again and subscribing at Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Some of these services insert ads, but iTunes does not. And I also appreciate the comments on iTunes. Anyway, thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thanks for your donations again for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 548. I am going to watch TV now all night. I can't wait. Thanks for listening to The Walk and Talk.